A family from a remote area was making their way, making their very first visit to the big city. They checked into their grand hotel and stood in amazement at the impressive sight. As Dad signed in at the reception desk, Mom and daughter came near the elevator entrance. They had never seen an elevator before, and they just stared at it, unable to figure out what it was there for. An old man hobbled towards the elevator and went inside. The door closed. About a minute later, the door opened, and out came a stunningly good-looking young man. Mom could not stop staring. Without turning her head, she patted her daughter's arm and said, "Honey, go get your dad." Well, unlike the elevator, the gospel of Jesus Christ truly does make a difference in a person's life. The before and after. Do you have a testimony? Yes, of course you do. Whether you realize it or not, every human has a testimony and is a living testimony. If I say a few names, what comes to your mind? Have you ever done word association before? Well, try it. I know this is a gifted group. Babe Ruth. Football? Oh, okay. Baseball, very good. Billy Graham. Mike Tyson. Fighter, boxer. Yeah, we won't mention the ear thing. Oops, I mentioned that. Abraham Lincoln. George Clooney. Yeah. And what about this name? Merle Haggard. Singer. Yeah, maybe there aren't any country western fans in here, but he actually had a pretty popular song called "I'm Proud to Be an Okie from Muskogee." It's been said that what we do speaks so loudly that people can't hear what we are saying. We all have a testimony. It can be both lived and spoken. And our living should match our speaking. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. And you're wondering, okay, what does that have to do with Gideon? The name of the message, the sermon this evening, is called Gideon, a Weak and Mighty Warrior. But it could just as well be called Gideon, a Mighty Weak Warrior. Or how about Gideon and the Power of Weakness? If you review Israel's history, you know that Judges is known, considered to be the sewer of Scripture. It's dark, dark time. And the key verse, or it's mentioned a couple different times, in those days Israel had no king, and everyone did as they saw fit. And there's a cycle that rolls over and over. I believe the cycle of Judges is seven times. The cycle that goes something like this, the five R's: rebellion, rebelliousness, retribution, repentance, restoration, and then finally rest. Or if you like your alphabet, A, B, C, D, an apostasy, which means a falling away from God, battering the enemies, beat them up pretty good, take advantage of them, a C, crying out to God, and a D, deliverance. Much of Judges is about failure. What does God do in the midst of all the struggling and in the failure and the messes, in the stink? He sends judges. And there are 12 judges, 6 major judges, 6 minor judges. You're more than likely familiar with most of the major judges. Othniel, It's not what you know, it's who you know. He was a nephew of the spy, of the wonderful spy, Caleb. Ehud takes a left, it takes a left-hander to do it right. Deborah takes a woman to do a man's job. Some of you are nodding, okay? Gideon, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Jephthah, please, will somebody love me? Will somebody love me? And then, of course, Samson, a he-man with a she problem. Every judge, maybe the exception with Deborah, and she went out to battle with Barak, who was afraid, timid, has some unique characteristic, some distinct flaw that God used. It says in Hebrews, out of weakness we are made strong. Gideon was weak and fearful, but God made him strong and courageous. How does one become strong and courageous? We'll look at that a little bit this evening. First of all, we find Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press, and he's very, very despondent. And he has what's called LSE, low self-esteem. Why is he threshing wheat in a wine press? He's hiding. He's in hiding. And usually being in hiding is not a good thing. Gideon is fearful. How fearful is he? He fears for his life. But while he's threshing wheat, and since he's not up on the hill, all the chaff of the wheat is falling right down on him because there's no wind to blow the chaff away. And Gideon says, "But sir," Gideon replies, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? But sir, if the Lord is with..." You've probably heard it said before, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. The Lord had not really forsaken them. They had forsaken the Lord. God had never moved, but they had wandered away from God. Gideon's rhetoric and Gideon's excuses demonstrates humility, but unfortunately, it's false humility. No courage and little strength. Yes, Gideon is completely inadequate. This is not about Gideon being humble. Because as you read this passage, Gideon with the I, but it's a small letter I. But whether it is a big I or a little I, it still comes down to a matter of pride, doesn't it? Yes, true humility is knowing your strengths and knowing your weaknesses and being willing, humble enough to work on your weaknesses. This certainly is not about Gideon being humble. In fact, he is, because of his spirit and timidity and fear, he is a hindrance to God. The encouraging thing is, God rarely recruits heroes. God recruits weak people and makes them strong. The promise of God's presence, crying out to God, turning to God, and when God is with you, and Gideon doesn't quite understand this yet, but when God is with you, the size of the enemy is of no great concern. And the enemy can be from without, and the enemy can be from within. Facing the giants can be an external problem, and it certainly can be an internal problem. If God is for us, Who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And you know the answer to that question. Nothing. Nothing. The beauty of Romans chapter 8, the first verse says what? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. What do the last verses say? There is no separation from those who are in Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And the man that fears God can face any foe and any enemy. But the eyes have to be turned from the enemies to the Lord. As I said earlier, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And some of you historians know who said that. FDR. When did he say it? When he and the United States had significant, significant struggles at a world level. Oh yes, the Great Depression, World War II. But he also, FDR personally had struggles, family struggles. And as you know, FDR had been stricken with polio. And his means of transportation was a wheelchair. Or when he moved about, he had braces. Braces on his legs, feet that weighed over 10 pounds, 10 pounds of iron. There was only ever one picture taken with FDR in a wheelchair. Interesting. He's the only American president to be elected to more than two terms. FDR said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And his contemporary, Winston Churchill, said it this way. A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity, and an optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. When we are inadequate, which we are, there's the greater likelihood of our being dependent upon God. And that's where Gideon needs to go, to be dependent upon God. And he's not ready for that. Obedience is a process. And Gideon, for him, it is a process. How is he going to gain courage and more courage and more courage? By being obedient to God and follow God's lead, follow God's calling. And God is going to use Gideon. And God is going to deliver the Israelites. In fact, that's his specialty. God's specialty is deliverance. And God's promise to Gideon is the same promise to you. Surely I will be with you. I will always be with you. And as it says in Philippians chapter 4, you can do all things through my strength. I will be with you. As he said to Joshua, he also says to his children today, I am with you and I will always be with you. Don't be despondent. Don't be discouraged. Don't be depressed. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. The dangerous enemy, the key enemy here is fear. And that is why it says in the Bible 366 times, do not fear. Peace. One time for each day of the year, including leap year. It's amazing. I think the first movie I ever saw in color, maybe you'll recognize it if I just simply say lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Yeah. And if I were king of the forest. You remember the Cowardly Lion from the classic The Wizard of Oz? Yes. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Cowardly Lion, all right, I'll go in there for Dorothy. Wicked witch or no wicked witch, guards or no guards, I'll tear them apart. I may not come out alive, but I'm going in there. There's just one thing I want you fellows to do. Tin Woodsman and Scarecrow say, "What's that?" The Cowardly Lion responds, "Talk me out of it." And here are just a few more lines from that Cowardly Lion. Courage? You say, courage? What makes a king out of a slave? Courage. What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the misty mist or the dusky dust? Courage. What makes the Sphinx the seventh wonder? Courage. What makes the dawn come up like thunder? Courage. What makes the Hottentot so hot? What puts the ape in apricot? What have they got that I ain't got? And Dorothy and Scarecrow and the Tin Woodsman say in unison, courage. I don't know about you, but I certainly can relate to the Cowardly Lion. And as the Cowardly Lion received his medal of courage, so we too receive the medal of courage, God's stamp upon you as his child. And the Spirit of the Lord is with you. Gideon, a mighty weak warrior, a weak and mighty warrior. But God is going to use him in a mighty way. You see, God's specialty is rescue. The Bible is a rescue story. Oh, yes, it's a love letter. History, his story. But God delivers. He always has, and he always will deliver. He sent us the deliverer, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ truly, truly delivers us from whatever bondage you might be in. Whether the struggle is from within or from without, whatever the giant you might be facing, maybe it is worry. You're not sure what tomorrow holds. You don't know what the future holds, but you know who holds the future. Maybe you fear your job. It's a difficult job. You feel underqualified. You fear that you're going to have to move this year. You fear facing surgery next week or next month. You fear a disease. Fear. You remember the disciples in the boat. Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to perish? We're all going to sink. The disciples were looking at their circumstances rather than their Christ. Look to Christ, not your circumstances, and move forward. And sometimes we just have to admit we fail forward. The past is past. Whether it's been good, whether it's been bad, you can't change it. But God can redeem it, and he can use it for his glory. The story of Gideon is a rescue story. The story of any judge is a rescue story. Your story is a rescue story. You need deliverance. You need to be set free. You need to be out of the bondage. My friends, are you experiencing this deliverance every day, daily? The story of Gideon, the story of the Israelites, it's your story. It's my story. And it's a beautiful story. Out of the darkness comes light. Out of the bondage comes freedom. Out of the fear comes courage. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And may Jesus Christ, the great deliverer, inspire you and me to trust, especially trust when we feel weak, when we feel inadequate, and we are vulnerable. This is the word of God. Believe it. Trust it. accept it and live it, because it is the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. Our song of response is, Great is thy faithfulness.